Blog Talk Radio.
We have been trained to hate ourselves and love white people.
We still are exploited as a people. We're constantly fighting for resources.
We've never been citizens, except on paper.
The participants of this are normally victims of this neocolonialist system.
You're listening to the voices of New Africa. Free the land. Free the land. Free the land. Free the land. Free the land.
We declare our right on this earth to be a man, to be a human being, to be respected as a human being, to be given the rights of a human being in this society, on this earth, in this day, which we intend to bring into existence by any means necessary.
And welcome. We are here once again, my friend, my brothers and sisters, kings and queens, gods and goddesses. Back at the Voices of New Africa, the show dedicated to the liberation of New African people in solidarity and support of the New African independence in America, independence movement, where we struggle for land, independence, nationhood, and the creation of an economic system that benefits the whole instead of just private individuals, the ruling elite. And as always, my name is Brother Yera Amati, a.k.a. Prophecy, your host. And we will be joined by some of the brightest minds in the New African community. But as always, we like to start the show out by putting some historical perspective on things. We want to start by shining the spotlight on an individual, an event, or an organization that played a significant role in the struggle for independence. New African liberation in America. And today we want to start out by talking about the 13th Amendment. Now, most people will say the 13th Amendment, well, that's the amendment that freed the slaves, of course, because it is the amendment that abolished chattel slavery somewhat. At least that's what most people say. That's what most people believe. But did the 13th Amendment really abolish slavery? And the answer to that question is no. Because, in fact, what the 13th Amendment did was it changed the conditions in which an individual could be enslaved. In other words, it created new conditions in which a person could be enslaved. And I'll tell you exactly what I mean by simply reading the 13th Amendment. This is what it says. Neither slavery nor involuntary servitude, except as a punishment for a crime whereof the party shall have been duly convicted, shall exist within the United States or any place subject to their jurisdiction. Okay, now according to that, it abolished slavery for all individuals except those who were convicted of a crime. So the question is, why is this so important? I mean, ain't it okay just to enslave criminals? Well, see, this is so important because we have to understand this institution of slavery was an economic system based on the exploitation of African people. It was a vicious, terrible, inhumane system, but at its core, at its foundation, it was an economic system. And what the 13th Amendment did was it set forth conditions in which this inhumane system can be continued all the way up into today, because immediately 13th Amendment was ratified, which was December 6, 1865. The white power structure began to exploit these new conditions of slavery, because you have to understand, For the white power structure, it wasn't about hating people because you were black. It was about exploiting certain groups of people for their labor in order to make wealth, gain wealth, and create wealth off of the backs of enslaved African people. This is what they wanted to continue. They wanted the exploitation, the benefits, the creation of wealth from cheap labor to continue. So like I said, with the creation of 13th Amendment, the white power structure began to exploit these new conditions. And they began to write laws which criminalized African people. And soon after the enslavement of African people was abolished, you started having the emergence of the Black Code, which was an evolution from the slave code, which allowed African people to be simply locked up if you didn't have a job, if you were just sitting around doing nothing. So if an individual wanted free labor, all they had to do was, hey, get a group of Black people, round them up, lock them up, and then have them work off their sentence on their plantation. System still maintained. Now, of course, this system has evolved through the years, through the criminalization of African people, whereas today we have a multi-billion dollar prison industry. And I won't get too far into that, not right now. But as for now, today, we want to shine the spotlight on an amendment to the Constitution, which laid the groundwork, laid the framework for modern-day slavery. That is the 13th Amendment. I know we're taught that it freed the slaves, but in reality, the only thing that it did was it changed the conditions in which an individual could be enslaved. They made it more sophisticated. And that leads us to our topic for today. Because today on this program, we want to talk about the prison industrial complex. Is this prison system in America, is it about rehabilitation? Is it really about punishing crime? Or is there something more sinister? Is it really the evolution of the old slave system in America? Is it really about the exploitation of people, especially African people, new African people here in America? Because we talked about how the 13th Amendment created conditions where if you were punished of a crime, you could be enslaved. Well, has these conditions been exploited to the point where it has created a multi-billion dollar industry, which corporations and politicians both profit from the legal enslavement of people? Understand that right now in America imprisons more people than any other country on the planet by far. In fact, there are more Black people in general locked up in America than the next 10 countries combined. In other words, the Black population, the Black prison population in America is higher than the next 10 countries' prison population combined. America constitutes 5% of the world's population, but it also has 25% of the world's prison population. In other words, one in four people who are locked up in prison on the whole planet are locked up in the United States. And a disproportionate amount of these individuals are new African people right here in America. And we want to talk about why. You know, because we always talk about, well, we want the creation of a independent new African state. And one of the criteria in order to be free is the creation of a different type of economic system, one that does not exploit the people, one that is not based on exploitation of man by man. And the reason why that is, this is a perfect example, because everything under this system is going to be used for profit. Is going to be ultimately used to exploit people. And the prison system is no different. And I'm pretty sure we're going to get into a lot of this, but I do, like I said, we're always joined by some of the brightest minds in the new African community. And I have my brother Kakayi on the line. I want to let them jump in before I just get carried away with this subject, because it's easy to do. But I have my brother Kakayi. Are you on the line, brother?
Yes, free the land, brother.
Free the land, I am, I will. Know you've been listening to this topic. So what are your thoughts on the prison industrial complex, this system of America? Is it a form of exploitation, or is it just about punishing criminals? Take it away, brother.
Well, you know, this capitalist system is designed to pretty much make sure that the ruling class, the elite, maintain control of the resources and maintain the wealth. And we know that in order for this capitalist system to even come into existence, it had to thrive and live off of the exploitation and oppression of our people. And we saw that with slavery, chattel slavery, the worst slavery in the history of humankind. But we have to realize that everything evolves, and they start off simple and they move to the complex. And so when we talk about slavery now, we have to understand that the people that are in total control of this economy had to come up with ways to make sure that slavery evolved with the times, evolved with the development of awareness of the people who were actually being kept in bondage. And so there we have the new form of slavery. It has to be recognized as for what it really is. We start off talking about being emancipated. We know that children being emancipated means that they leave their parents' control, if you will, to be wards of the state. And that was the same thing with the slaves. When you were emancipated, you were no longer property of the single white plantation owner. You were property of the government. And so as the government became the ruling class of what went on with the slaves, then we realized that, and let me clarify, when I say ruling class, I'm not talking about bourgeoisie or class structure. I'm talking about the government, this system, had total control of the slaves. And so what they ended up doing right off the bat was that they had to come up with ways of making sure that these people remained in slavery, because you got 4 million people who are free and they're not being a part of the production or the means of production. And so you had to find a way to get them back involved. And so hence came Black Codes, where just everyday black life was illegal. And you started having lottery laws, all type of laws. People were claiming that you had debt and got you criminalized for that. Then we look at the evolution of incarceration. What ended up happening with the Jim Crow laws, more and more of our people had been incarcerated to remain slaves, because that's the loophole that they put in their amendment, the 13th Amendment. So they continue to work on that loophole, but they changed the name as time goes on. It went from Black Code to Jim Crow. There's a reason why we are heavily incarcerated as black people. And then from Jim Crow, it went to, and Jim Crow lasts for 100 years. And then you put, you go back 50 years from now, when you talk about the civil rights movement, and then you have where you have us recognizing that we need freedom. We don't need to be a part of this system and vote and all that. We were fighting for black power, Black Panthers, you know, all of these things that we were bringing about as change for our people. And then they came with a counterattack called Law and Order with Richard Nixon, where they made massive incarceration of black people in the black community. This is still perpetuating the loophole in the 13th Amendment. They create this environment that they are fighting crime, and all the people that are criminals are the ones that are black. That's where the law and order targeting, black folks. You know, they just changed the name from nigger to criminal. And so it's a code that they use to let themselves know that, hey, we don't have to call them nigger anymore. We just call them criminals. It's the same thing. And we all recognize when even black people being conditioned in this country realize that when you say criminal, the image of a black man comes into your mind, just like the image to most black people of Jesus is white. So they know what they're doing. And because of that, they went on, and the penal system evolved into the next level, which they had the war on drugs, which was another way of implementing that loophole in the 13th Amendment till you get to Bill Clinton, when it was, you know, the Bill Clinton was the war on drugs, but Reagan was just say no. All of these are the same things attacking the loophole in the 13th Amendment to continue to incarcerate us till we get to a point now that we have the CAA, which was started in Memphis, Tennessee, that is on the stock market now and is the most profitable industry right now in climbing. And that's all about incarcerating our people. So it's all about maintaining their legacy of capitalism through slavery by disguising it as a penal system. People, wake up. We have to understand that we have to make the difference. We have to say all remedies have been exhausted, and we have to look to our own nation, the Republic of New Africa, have our own land, our own freedom, our own self-government, and our own economic system. Thank you, brother. We need to get this message out, and I'm glad that you gave me an opportunity to do that. Free the land.
Free the land, my brother. And I think we refer to what you just said as a drop the mic moment, because you just kind of killed that. There are some things that you said that I want to follow up on, because you did an excellent job there. But you mentioned the CCA, and that's important that we understand that, because we always talk about America being a corporation, America being an empire that is not ran by a president or emperor, but ran by major corporations for the event of gaining maximum profit for the ruling elite, the ruling class. And a perfect example of that is what you just talked about, the CCA, which stands for the Corrections Corporation of America. And actually, it has changed its name because it has been exposed for what it's actually doing, profiting under the prison industrial complex. It is now known as CoreCivic, but formerly known as the CCA, the Corrections Corporation of America. Now, this is the largest owner of private prisons in America. And in fact, this organization, this corporation, has contracts with counties and cities all over America, saying that their prisons have to be filled with like 90% capacity at all times, or this county loses their contract. So regardless of whether crime is being committed or not, the prisons have to stay full, at least 90% capacity. And these people, another organization in which you need to understand is one called ALEC, A-L-E-C. And that stands for the American Legislation Exchange Council. Okay. Now, what this is a club that is based of politicians and corporations. And what they do in this club is the corporations write laws, and they give them to politicians to pass. In other words, this is like a big lobbyist cooperative between politicians and major corporations, and the corporations tell the politicians what to do, what to support, what law to pass, and the laws go to benefit the corporations. And CCA was a big part of Alex, of this club, and a lot of the laws that you see, like the Stand Your Ground law and several others, the laws in which Bill Clinton passed, you know, with the three strikes, the minimum sentences, and all of these laws which led to the explosion of the incarceration of new African people, most of them were created by the CCA. And this is just, you know, a prime example of how corporations rule America in the interest of private profit for the ruling elite. It doesn't matter, you know, that these laws have devastated many people, and we have so many ridiculous laws that lock you up. I mean, just look at the things that we are harassed for. Look at the things that we are murdered for by the police, selling CDs, sitting around, standing around. All of this is a result of corporations creating laws that help benefit their interests because it helps to fuel the prison industrial complex. And today, the prison industrial complex is a multi-billion dollar industry because in prison, you know, you have jobs that on the outside, you may get paid $30, $40 an hour, and prisoners are doing them for like 11 cents an hour. So I guess officially they are getting paid, if you want to call it that. But I do want to continue, and I have my sister, Ayo Deli, on the line. Mama Ayo, are you there? No, you've been waiting, sister. Free the land, I
free
am.
Land.
I will. And we're talking. We are talking about the prison industrial complex today. It's a form of slavery. This is further a form of this exploitative system in America that we have suffered from for so many, many centuries. What are your thoughts on it, sister?
I totally agree with you and Brother Kokai. Excellent. Excellent information. People have to put that information into an analyzation mode to know that these are one of the tenets, the tentacles of capitalism and imperialism. It is geared towards people of African descent, Hispanics, Latinos, the indigenous brothers and sisters of this land, and it is designed to make sure that they continue to break down the family, the community, the nation, and the race, and it's all internationally tied up with knowing that capitalism is a system of exploitation. Yes, the bourgeoisie are controlling that capitalism and imperialism and white supremacy. It is geared toward the people of our nation who built this nation with 400 years of labor, and they had to come up with a plan to make sure that we don't prosper. We were never given the chance to decide what we want to do, if we want to remain our own citizens or we want to unite with American citizens once we were emancipated. We weren't given that choice. Agreements were made to give us compensation for 400 years of slavery and our emancipation, and that, as usual with capitalism and imperialism, with even the indigenous of this country, was never honored. So you have a system that is going to always want to exploit, kill, degrade, and to eventually, and which they are doing, annihilate, genocide. So we're in that type of system, and the prison system is exactly that. We have brothers inside that are imprisoned for minor as well as major things, but it's all a result of the conditions of our lives that we have had to live, and we have to look at it analytically. Not to say that each individual is not to be held accountable for their actions, but some of those crimes, some of the actions of the brothers and sisters are political. I think it's all political because the various laws, the laws for black people in America are different than laws for white people in America. And if you don't know that by now, where are you? Are you present and looking and watching the world? So we have men, fathers, brothers, sons, cousins, the whole plethora of new Africans bound up in the prison system. Their labor is being used to benefit the super and the super rich. But at the same time, it's a direct attack, a direct attack against the very nature of new African people here in America and our relationship with white supremacy and racism, capitalism, imperialism. And it is an attempt to make sure that we don't build our own community, we don't have our own schools, we don't love one another, protect one another, be of assistance and be challenged to fight against this system by understanding that all remedies, as the brother said before, everything we've done, we've chanted, we've prayed, we've marched, we've aggressed upon you, and all of these things, except the aggression, has not worked. So now it's time, as Brother Malcolm says, to face the system, be honest about it, understand that our people are under attack on all levels, and we keep saying it over and over, and on all levels. So once you understand your enemy, you should understand who you should be looking for to be your friends and your protectors. So the prison system today is a continual process. As a matter of fact, it's tied into the miseducational system of this country. If you look, you are seeing they're preparing our children to go through the doors of the prison system faster and faster and faster. And it's all tied up. The brothers in the camps, we are hoping and praying that the time that is being used to reason and to understand that you are to still be of service to our people, you are still to study, get your if you have to work, get your profession in order so that when you do come out, there's a different look. There's a different change for our community. Free the land, brother.
Free the land. I am, I will. Excellent comments. Something I do want to mention, I'm losing my voice, but if you want more information, there actually is a Netflix documentary that came out that talks a lot about the prison industry. Matter of fact, it's called 13th. And reference to the 13th Amendment, you can look at that. I think when I post the show, I might have a link to it, so you can go directly to it and watch it for free if you don't have Netflix. But it's a good documentary. It has a lot of information on it. A lot of information talks about some things from a very interesting perspective. One of the things that that we don't, you know, a lot of times we don't realize when dealing with this system of the prison industrial complex is, I mean, basically, it's a whole class of our people, of New African people who have been neutralized. I mean, you have within the prison system our warrior class. You have a complete army locked up in the prison system right now. No, these are our warriors. These are the people who should be preparing to be the leaders of our community. So this system has devastated us, devastated our community, devastated parents. You know, so I mean, it's extremely important. I advise everyone to check it out. Check out the 13th. On Netflix now, and I'll leave a link to it. But before we get out of here, we want to talk about some solutions, because we could talk about, oh, terrible prison system, it has enslaved us again and stuff like that. But if we don't give some real solutions, some practical solutions, some things that we can actually do or at least be working toward in order to correct this problem, in order to fight back from this terrible system of oppression and exploitation, and we really ain't doing nothing but just talking, but slapping our guns. Oh, Ash, what are some of the solutions that we can do? What can we do? What do we need to be working toward in order to help combat this prison industrial complex? And I'm going to my brother Kakayi. Brother Kakayi, are you there?
Yes, you there, brother Kakayi? I'm there.
Just quick,
we need to recognize what our enemy has in place right now. Our enemy has 20 states involved in this prison industrial complex. They have 88 facilities that are actively actively participating in the incarceration of our warriors. And so we must recognize that we're dealing with people who have already set in motion their plan to make sure that we don't prepare to stand up for what we believe in and fight for our freedom and not participate in this system of so-called system of democracy here in the United States. So we need to begin to prepare our warriors to not go to jail, not because they have some type of consequences behind our actions, but we stay out of jail because we know we are warriors and we're needed in the streets to be prepared to take on the responsibility of liberating our people. So we must begin to teach our brothers and sisters why you shouldn't be incarcerated because it's a prison camp, because you're prisoners of war if you're a conscious citizen of the Republic of New Africa. And we know that we're behind enemy lines, and there's certain things as warriors, as military personnel, that you must do to be successful in your struggle for freedom. And we begin by teaching our young warriors now, male and female. And the best way to do that is to be around like minds, learn your history, and know the philosophy and ideology behind revolutionary politics. Free the land, brother.
Free the land. I am, Will. I'm coming back to you, Mama Iodelli. So what are some of the solutions? What are some of the things that we can be doing in order to help combat this system of exploitation, the prison industrial complex?
And I have to just add to what my comrade, Brother Kokai, said, because those are great, wonderful strategies, putting your mind and thoughts and into action. We're calling on brothers and sisters because we have to be implementing one of our codes of behavior, the Nguzo Saba, as well as the African Creed, into play, that you are to be warriors for our nation, girls and boys. But being that, you have to honor who you are. You have to love yourself. You have to love others. There are no aggressing upon the elders and the children. Those are codes of behavior. Those are things. Be watchful. We are under attack. We have an enemy, a clear and ever-present enemy. We should not be enemies to ourselves. What those characteristics that we have brought forth to the present day are not of African values, and we are new African people. We must begin to put those things. Those are like codes of behavior. Those are our commandments. Those are how we live by. If we cannot be, I tell you again, of service to the race, to your community, your family, your nation, then you have to be an enemy of yourself. And that is what they've been teaching us over the last so many years since we've been under attack since the 60s. Keep them disunited. Keep them always on attack in the family and in the community, in the school system. We have to teach our warriors that they have to be respectful. They have to be educated. They have to know how to read, because when you know how to read, you know how to think. The strategy to keep us miseducated is still being perpetuated on us. And we have to be telling our children about our history, because they have nothing. They have no foundation to build on. How do you know where you're going if you don't know where you've been? What has occurred to us? So as a new African people, the community, we are calling on the community. Start talking to each other. Get through those attitudes that we have with each other and live and work. We are under attack. We need to be teaching our children how to survive this system. Free the land, brother.
Free the land. I am, I will. And on the subject of solutions, I will simply say this. One of the first things that we have to do is we have to shift our mindset. We have to understand the true nature of our relationship with this system. As I always say, America is not a democracy. We got to get that out of our head. We're not living under a democracy. We're not living in the land of the free. We have to erase all of those fairy tales and recognize, like I said, that America is an empire. But instead of being ruled by kings or queens or emperors, it's ruled by major corporations for the benefit of the ruling elite. And with that understanding that America is an empire, then we must understand that our relationship to this empire is we are subjects of this empire. So you can't be shocked when Donald Trump wins the elections. You can't be shocked when you realize how the laws have targeted our people. You can't be shocked when you see police brutalizing and murdering our people. And you can be upset about it, but no, we got to stop being shocked by that, because we have to understand the true nature of our relationship. So once you stop being shocked by it, then we can react to it appropriately. And the appropriate way to react is not by having a protest. It's not by going out and voting. It's not by writing your law, legislature, or your politicians, because we've already shown that they are controlled by corporations. The appropriate way to respond is to neutralize the threat. And what I mean by that is we have to struggle for independence, because right now we are dependent upon this very system that is exploiting us. So we have to struggle collectively to bring about our own schools, so we can control our own education system, so we can stop the indoctrination in this system of white supremacy that's creating a mindset that helps to fuel the prison industrial complex. One thing that I didn't mention about the CCA is that they also control large portions of the music industry. Corrections Corporation of America also controls a large portion of the music industry, which produces and promotes rap music that is targeted for young black people. And if you listen to a lot of the music that is targeted to young black people, it talks about violence amongst each other. It talks about selling illegal drugs so you can expensive things. It talks about beyond like real name is Robert, who takes the persona of drug dealers who are in prison, drug dealers who no longer even deal with drug dealers who now come and speak out against the system. But yet their artists rap put before on TV in big lights, and they're promoting selling drugs and this lifestyle that they never lived. And they're saying how cool it is to have all this pain and crack and do all of these things, and our young people are eating it up. So we have to have control, and we have to, once we gain control, then we have the ability to eliminate and filter out all of that foolishness. But as long as the people who benefit from our exploitation control your economic system, political system, education system, justice system, and all of the systems that govern your lives, you can't solve your problems. So the solution is what we are. We have to struggle to gain land and the creation of an economic benefit and not just the ruling elite. Because the way we look at ourselves, the negative stereotypes perpetuated about us and bought into by white America, Latino Americans, and even ourselves, New African people in America, we even buy into the negative stereotypes ourselves. None of this is by accident. He said it has been a result of the exploitation of the loophole in the 13th Amendment, which created conditions in which people could be enslaved. And it's the criminalization of new African people. And I want to appreciate everybody who called in, everybody who is listening out there. Thank you all. Join us in topics that are relevant to the new African independence movement. My name is Brother Yeroth, a.k.a. Prophecy. I will see you again next Sunday at 10 o'clock. Until then, y'all have a... We have been trained to hate ourselves and love white people.
We still are exploited as a people. We're constantly fighting for resources.
We've never been citizens, except on paper.
The participants of this are normally victims of this neo-colonialist system.
You're listening to the voices of New Africa. Free the land.
We declare our right on this earth to be a man, to be a human being, to be respected as a human being, to be given the rights of a human being in this society, on this earth, in this day, which we intend to bring into existence by any means necessary.